Each individual wizard has his own particular quirks when it comes to how he uses his power. There is no industrial standard for how fire is evoked into use in battle. One of the wardens coming up behind me sent forth a stream of tiny stars that slewed through the night like machine gun fire, effortlessly burning holes through trees, rocks, and gray men with equal disdain. Another sent a stream of fire up in a high arch, and it crashed down among several gray men, splashing and clinging to any moving thing it struck like napalm. Lances of scarlet and blue and green fire burned through the air, reminding me for a mad moment of a scene from a Star Wars movie. Steam hissed and snarled everywhere as a swath of woodland, 40 yards across and half as deep, vanished into light and fury. Hell's bells. I mean, I'd seen wardens at work before, but it had all been fairly precise, controlled work. This was pure destruction, wholesale, industrial strength, and the heat of it was so intense that it sucked the air out of my lungs. The gray men, though, weren't impressed. Either they weren't bright enough to attempt to preserve their own existence, or they just didn't care. They scattered as they advanced, spreading out. Some of them rushed forward low to the ground and half hidden by the brush. Others bounded into the trees and came leaping and swinging forward branch by branch. Still more of them darted to the sides, out of the harsh glare of the fires, spreading out around us. "Toot!" I screamed over the roaring chaos. "Go after the flankers!" A tiny trumpet added its own notes to the din, and the pizza patrols zipped out into the woods, two or three of the little fairies working together to carry fresh Roman candles. They gleefully kept on with the fireworks, sending the little sulphurous balls of flame chasing the gray men trying to slip around us through the shadows, marking their positions. Lara let out a piercing call and came up to my side, gun in hand, snapping off snarling bursts every time a target presented itself. I pointed to either side and said, "They're getting around us. We've got to stop them from taking Mai and Injun Joe from behind." Lara's eyes snapped left and right, and she said something to her sisters in ancient Etruscan, the tongue of the White Court. One of them went in either direction, vanishing into the dark. A gray man came crashing out of the flame 20 feet away from me, blazing like a grease fire. He showed absolutely no concern for the flame. He just sprinted forward and leapt at me, hands spread wide. I made it up to my knees and braced one end of my quarterstaff against the ground, aiming the other at the gray man's center of mass. The staff struck it, but not squarely. It twisted to one side at the impact, bounced off the ground, took a fraction of a second to reorient itself on me, and erupted into a cloud of ectoplasm as rounds from Lara's gun took its head apart. The next attacker was already on the way, out in the darkness beyond the firelight. I came to my feet and, on pure instinct, snapped off another blast of fire at the empty air 20 feet beyond Lara and about 10 feet up. There was nothing there as I released the blast, and I knew it, but as the fire hissed through the falling rain, it illuminated the form of a gray man in the midst of a spectacular leap that would have ended at the small of Lara's back. The blast struck him and hammered him to one side so that he came down like a burning jet, crashing across a dozen yards of ground before dissolving into flame-licked mounds of swiftly vanishing transparent jelly. Lara didn't see the attacker until he'd tumbled past. "Oh," she said, her voice conversational. "That was gentlemanly of you, Dresden." "I've been known to pull out chairs and open doors, too," I said. "How very unfashionable," Lara said, her pale eyes gleaming. "And endearing." Ebenezer stumped up to us, staff in hand, his eyes narrow and flickering all around us, while wardens continued to send blasts of power hammering into targets. Off in the woods behind us, submachine guns chattered. Apparently Lara's sisters were still hunting the gray men who had gotten around us. "We've got one warden down," Ebenezer said. "How bad?" "One of those things came out of a tree above her and tore her head off," he said. I tracked a slight motion in a nearby treetop and swiveled to point a finger. "Sir, up there!" Ebenezer grunted a word, reached out a hand, and made a sharp pulling motion. The gray man who had been clamoring toward us was seized by an unseen force, ripped out of the tree, and sent sailing on an arc that would land it in Lake Michigan, a quarter of a mile from the nearest shore. Where's the second group? Ebenezer asked. I thought about it. They're at the dock, at the edge of the trees. They're closing on Mai and Injun Joe. I glanced at Lara. I think the vampires have been holding them off. Ebenezer spat a curse. That summoner is still out there somewhere. His pets won't last long in his reign, but we can't afford to give him time to call up more. Can you find him? I checked. There was so much confusion and motion on the island that Demon Reach had trouble distinguishing one being from another, but I had a solid, if nonspecific, idea of where Binder was. Yeah, I sensed more movement and pointed behind us to where a trio of gray men had managed to close on a pair of wardens who were standing on either side of a still, red-spattered form on the ground. There!